Today we are in Luke 1, verse 26, and before I present my sermon today, I wanted to share that I think we have a few walking sermons in here today. Carl is back there, and the Toomey family as well, so we're thankful to see them. And pretty soon Jerry will be with us as well, so we look forward to that. So we conclude today our Christmas series, the characters of Christmas, and this one is on Mary, and like I said, it's found in Luke 1, verse 26. Please read with me. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor, grace with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. Yeshua. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Praise God. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month right now. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me but be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Let's pray today. God, we thank you for the reminder that no word from you will ever fail. And we pray today not to hear a word from Jason Zansky, but a word from you, from God. Only you can speak to our hearts in the way that we need it. So we pray today that you would speak and help us to respond in faith and trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, this is our final sermon in the series of the Christmas characters. Characters of Christmas. We're all characters, aren't we? Characters of Christmas. And this one is on Mary. And Mary, I want to do something unusual. I usually don't do this. I usually don't start a sermon with a kind of a negative point, I guess you might say. But I wanted to start out first, I guess on a negative, to end on a positive. The negative saying is what and who Mary was not, who she wasn't and what she was not. And not to I'm not here to try to offend anybody or anything, but really to just present what God has given to us in His Word, and do hopefully in a humble manner. So, and like I said, we want to end on a positive on who Mary was and how we can be encouraged by how she responded to Gabriel and to the calling that God put upon her life. So, Mary, she was highly favored. Highly favored and very specially blessed. No other person would birth the Messiah, would have the Messiah be conceived inside of her. Very blessed in a special way, and surely she was highly favored, but this does not mean she's to be worshipped. She's not a person to be worshipped, but a humble servant of the Lord. And some have said, some believe that she was sinless. The Bible does not say that. I guess some believe that she was sinless because Jesus was sinless, but the Bible just does not say that. It says she was highly favored, and the fact that it says she was highly favored shows me she was in need of grace. Why? Because that word favored, favor means grace. The same word in the Greek that is used, that we get grace and favor from is charis. Where that, you know, word charismatic comes from, to be grace gifted. So Mary got to be the mother of Jesus, not because she was sinless and she deserved it, but this was a gift, a grace to her. Surely she was the right woman because she responded well, as we see, but she was a sinner just like us and someone that is not to be worshipped. So Gabriel said, Mary, you are highly favored. And like I said, that word in the Greek is a lot like, it's the same thing as being graced. We know Ephesians 2, we read of how we're saved by grace, not by anything we have done or earned or deserved, right? It's saved by grace through faith. And also Ephesians 1, 6 kind of uses the same word that is used here in Luke concerning Mary. Speaking of our adoption as Christians, our adoption into God's family by his glorious grace, it says that he freely gave or favored us in the beloved. That shows right there that is a favor. That is something because of the beloved, not because of who we are. And that very same word is what's used with Mary. She's highly favored, graced, a freely given gift that she didn't deserve or earn. And let me remind you, tell me if I'm wrong, please. But I read nowhere in the Bible where Jesus was favored. Can you think of anything where Jesus or God was favored? Now, he's worthy of worship for sure, but he's not favored. Do you know why? He doesn't need to be. Because he's the one that brings the favor. He is God. He's the one that bestows the grace. He's the one that bestows the favor. We don't read of Jesus being favored. And by the way, if he got anything, any gift from us, he earned it, didn't he? He deserves it. He surely deserves more than we give him right now. But what he receives, he actually earned it. So it really is not grace to him. It's just giving him what he is due. So Mary was gifted. She was chosen by grace. She was a sinner just like us, because especially when we read in Luke 47, the Magnificat, that she's the song of praise that she gives to God. How does she address God? My helper, my friend, my consultant, my savior. She said, my savior, because she needed saved from her sins. She needed saved. She needed grace. Like I said, I'm not trying to be offensive in any way for those maybe listening at home or here today, but I just want to present clearly God's word of who Mary is and who she is, so we can perfectly glorify God and also learn from her life. So someone might say, well, if she wasn't sinless, then how could Jesus have been sinless? How could he have been born as our Messiah without sin? Well, I'll tell you. So there's certain traits, right? Certain traits, certain disorders, certain diseases that are only passed on by the father, right? And there's also some that are only passed on by, transmitted by the mother. Well, if you read the Bible, apparently, when it comes to our sin, the disorder, the disease of our sin, the power of sin, that doesn't get passed on to us by our mothers. It gets passed on to us by our fathers. Read Romans 5:12, but who was the first human to sin? We all know it. Just go ahead and say it. Don't be afraid. Who was it? Eve, right? So it was Eve, right? They both sinned, but Eve did first. And I'm not saying men are better than women. That's not what I'm saying. That's just what the Bible says. Eve, she partook of the fruit first. But Romans 5:12 says, just how sin entered the world through one man. Eve sinned first, right? But Romans 5:12 says sin entered through a man. Not mankind, a man. Speaking of Adam, speaking of how The sin that we have, that we're born with, comes from the man. Sorry, fellas. Just when you felt a little bit highly of yourselves, we're the ones that pass on the sin DNA, I guess you might say. It's also why Genesis 3:15, when God cursed the serpent, cursed Satan, he said there will be enmity not between you and the man, but who? You and the woman. Because it is from the woman's seed, the woman's descendant, that the Savior would come and crush his head. And so that is how Jesus could be born into the world through a sinner, but not be transmitted, but be born with sin, because he came from the seed of a woman. The other part was what? The Holy Spirit. We know that. Conceived of the Holy Spirit. And I just love to see the genius of God, right? When he created Adam and Eve, he didn't create two separate beings, right? That would have been two different humanities, right? Right? He created Adam, and then he created Eve out of Adam. If he would have done it any other way, right, there would be a need for more than one Savior. But since we're all mankind, right, human, we're all the human race. There's no such thing as racism, is there? We're all the same race. We are the human race, right? Since Eve was taken out of Adam, that means when Jesus came through Mary, he could be the Savior for all mankind. Not a separate race, but for the whole human race. See, God's in the details. We say the devil's in the details, right? But God's even in the more details. And it's just awesome to see how he had all things planned out even before creation. And he created Eve in such a way where she would not transmit sin, women in such a way that they would not transmit sin to mankind. Therefore, to be a way for a Savior to come, Jesus, and be without sin. So we come here today, like I said, Mary, she was a sinner just like us. So we shouldn't worship her, but we should respect her. We should respect her. She was given a high calling. And she was the right woman, as we see how she responds to the news of this miraculous conception of bearing Jesus the Messiah while she was a virgin, before she was married, while she was betrothed to Joseph, but not married yet. She had not come together with him yet. Yeah, hopefully I pray this encourages us, because how often times have we come to a place where we just don't know what God is up to? We don't understand why he is having us do something, why he's leading us in a certain area. We just don't get it. We get kind of confused. We can learn a lot from Mary when it comes to understanding God's will and accepting that will that might be hard to accept. Well, the very first words spoken to her by Gabriel was, "Greetings." That's just, hi. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, how would that make you feel if an angel came to you and said that? It made Mary feel troubled. It says very clearly, she was troubled at what kind of greeting this was. Now, just imagine, maybe this will help out. Let's say you go home today. You get a call from the White House, and you are invited to meet President Trump, and you are given total access to get there. You're given maybe even a ride on Air Force One to get there in time, and given all your meals paid for on the way, everything, and just treated like a king or a queen to get there. But you just don't know what it's about. And you get there, and you just see all kinds of other dignitaries there, and they're just watching how you're going to respond to this. And then the president says, "Chosen one, you highly favored one, we're with you. We're going to help you with this." And would that not trouble you, just hearing that, how serious of something is about that you're going to be a part of? How serious, and this is an angel of heaven, Gabriel, saying, "Greetings, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." showing you how serious this was. So she was troubled, to say the least, seeing how serious this was. And we got any Spider-Man fans in here? So I guess it'd be kind of like Uncle Ben, right? Saying, you know, with great power comes what? Great responsibility. And we saw that she's going to receive great power and a great responsibility, a heavy, heavy load put on her, a serious task that God is calling her to. So she was a little nervous. She was nervous, and we would be as well. So therefore, Gabriel says, do not be afraid. How often do we need to hear that from God? Do not be afraid. How often has fear stopped us from fulfilling God's will or doing what God has called us to? Fear. It has been said that a life of fear is a life half lived. A life half lived. So Gabriel says, do not be afraid. You have found favor, grace with God. I'm here not for with bad news. I'm here with good news. I'm here with a gift. And you have been chosen. God's going to give you everything you need. He is with you. You have found favor with God. This is a grace, a gift to you. Do not be afraid. Grace is coming. And God is with you. What's going to happen is you're going to conceive. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to give him this name right here. Jesus, or Yeshua, same name as Joshua, means Yahweh is salvation. God is salvation. Do not be afraid. You're going to give birth to a son, and you're going to name him God is salvation. That's what you're going to call him. Do not be afraid. Salvation is coming. A savior for our sins. And it says Gabriel says, he will be great. He will be great. Now, if you rewind a little bit back to Zechariah's conversation with Gabriel, he's speaking of John the Baptist, and Gabriel says, speaking of John, he is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Seems pretty similar, huh? I think it's similar for a reason, so that we can see the difference, actually. John the Baptist was going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Jesus, he says, just great. Why? Because he doesn't need to be great in the sight of the Lord, because he is the Lord, right? He is the Lord. I don't know how much evidence people need to see in the Bible. It says Jesus is God. He is the Lord. That's why the angel said he will be great. He doesn't need to be great in the sight of the Lord. He is just great because he is God. He is Yahweh. Yahweh is salvation. God is salvation, Jesus. And he will be the Son of the Most High. He says that's a term used for God and God alone, the Most High, showing that he will be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And he'll come from his earthly father as well. He will be descending from the throne of David, showing, you know, Mary would have heard this. When Mary heard this, that God would give him the throne of David, the father David, and that it was the Son of the Most High, she says, yeah, for sure, this is who? The Messiah. The Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the anointed one. And she responds saying, how will this be? How will this be? I am a virgin. And this is not her, she wasn't doubting. We know Zechariah, he doubted, didn't he? And what was the consequence? He couldn't speak. Couldn't speak until John was born. So the first thing came out of his mouth was, he will be called John, right? And I don't think that's God picking on him, but I think it was God helping him to believe, helping him to be able to hear more, right? Because oftentimes we have two mouths and one ear, don't we? But when we pray to God, we give him our grocery list, and we just talk, and don't listen. He couldn't speak, so he listened a lot. That helped him with his doubt. And to where the first word that came out of his mouth was prophecy. He just spit out all kinds of prophecy because he was just listening to God the whole time. Well, Mary, this was not doubt. This was intrigue. She just really couldn't figure out, well, how in the world is it going to happen? I'm a virgin. I've never seen a virgin give birth before, right? And the answer, which is really an answer that we can all take when we have questions about God or what God's going to do, what he's calling us to, how can it be? How can you use me, God? How can I do this? Well, it's not about you. It's about God. Gabriel's answer to Mary was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Big difference maker there. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Most High God will overshadow you. See, as believers, you might get concerned that you have times of uncertainty and times of questions with God. But if you are, I would say that you're on the right track. You're growing in your faith, right? We ought to, as believers, have times of uncertainty, times of not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what God is up to. I mean, if he really is the God of the Bible, the God whose ways are above our ways, the God who's all-knowing, all-powerful, and who is love, don't you think there better be some times we just don't get what he's up to? Do you want a God you can fully understand? No. We want a God that we don't understand because he's so pure in love. He is so wise. He's so powerful. And whenever we do have those moments like we should, where we have fear, we're afraid, we're not sure what's going to happen. If I do take this step of faith, what's going to happen? Be reminded that faith, someone once said that faith is just fear that has said its prayers. Faith is just fear that has said its prayers. Have encountered some fear, but still move forward. Doesn't let fear stop you. Faith is just fear that has said its prayers. I don't know how many times that I've faced fear when God was calling me to something that I've never done before. Especially, I guess, first going to seminary. I had a lot of fears. I felt inadequate. I'm like, I can't do this. But he made it very clear, I want you to go to seminary. And I did. He gave me everything I needed, especially through Hebrew and Old Testament. Man, Christina did great. She's awesome at Hebrew. But I was apparently, it took a miracle for me to get through there. And also coming into this role, when I go from youth pastor to senior pastor, I had a lot of doubt. I would just say I had doubt. I was unsure. I'm like, God, I can't do this. I don't know how. How can this be? How could I do this? And the question on my mind was, I don't know how I could do this. How can I do this? And the very day when I had that thought in my mind, the very moment, I was getting ready to go to work. I got in my car. And right when I had that thought, I turned the car on, and the radio preacher says, "You can't do this." Amen. I can't, but God can. The Holy Spirit. Mary said, "How will this be?" The Holy Spirit, God, he specializes in miracles. He specializes in things that we're not used to. We're used to the laws of nature. We have these natural laws that we're familiar with. By the way, God rules over all the laws, by the way. Even the laws of nature are a miracle. The gravity. He holds us together by the power of his word. But we're just so used to it. It's just common. But when he goes outside the natural law, we have a hard time understanding that. That's what Mary, of course, she'd never seen anybody give birth who was a virgin. The Holy Spirit was going to come upon her. It's God's work. He specializes in the miraculous. I remember there was a time where I had a lot of questions, where I was new to faith, and I was really, I'm thinking, God, you're going to provide an accounting job for me, right? I just graduated, you're going to fill that position right away. But God was leading me towards youth ministry. But during that time, I'm looking for jobs. I'm sending out applications, and I'm in between jobs. I'm like, God, where is this full-time job at? I was just doing a lot of part-time, I guess, temp work. And so I was in between two temp jobs, not a lot of money. And I'm saying, God, what's going on here? You're a provider. I was getting everything I needed, but I felt like I needed a job. But during that time, I didn't know God was giving me time to go on a mission trip to Cambodia. My friend asked me to go, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. $2,300. You know how much I have? Negative 300 in my account after a lot of bank charges. I don't know how this is going to happen. How will this be? But God convinced me. 2 days later, I made the decision. I made that decision, and 5 weeks later, I have the money, $2,300. I sent out support letters to friends and family, but thank you all those back home who are listening, maybe who did that. But it was a big part of my faith walk. But I got reminded that those questions were for a reason. That being in between jobs was for a reason, so I can go there and see God work in a way I never expected and say, how will this be? Whether it be financially or just having the courage to go, and found out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if he wants you to go somewhere and you commit to it, he's going to provide. Where God guides, right? He what? Provides. Where God guides, he provides. We know that. But isn't the supernatural life the normal Christian life, right? I'm not talking about walking on water, unless you want to go ice fishing, right? Walking on water, instantaneously healing people. Now, I'm not going to say God can't do that or won't do that. But the normal Christian life is a Holy Spirit, supernaturally filled life where he gives you what you need to forgive that person. He gives you what you need to have the courage to share the gospel with someone. He gives you the words. He gives you the strength, the encouragement, that word from another believer that is so timely. He gives us what we need. The normal Christian life is a life filled and led by the Holy Spirit. And that was the answer to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Gabriel, he ends saying to her, he's speaking about Elizabeth, her relative, who also had a miraculous conception. She was barren, right? Remember that? She was barren, but he said she's actually in her sixth month now. And then he says, for no word from God will ever fail. And what was Mary's response? I'm sure she had a lot of uncertainty. A lot of fear. What will Joseph think? Right? We're not married yet, and I'm going to be pregnant. What's Joseph going to think? What's the community going to think, especially the Jewish community who have the right to stone someone caught in adultery? Right? What are they going to think? Are they going to believe me that it was God, that it was the Holy Spirit? She would have fears of what friends and family would think. A lot of uncertainty and doubt, but despite that, here's what she says. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Now, I think it's easy for us to say, may God's will be done on the earth in other people's lives. But it should be first with us. May your word, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. May your will in my life be fulfilled. Not praying for somebody else, which is good, but your word in my life. That's what she says. I'm the Lord's servant. May your word that never fails that you just mentioned, may your word be fulfilled in me. Mission accepted with an emphatic, with an exclamation mark. Yes. Yes and amen, I guess you may say. She says, I am willing. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be what you say. And may that be us today. And at times where maybe we are having hard times, where we're having a hard time figuring out what God is up to. Or maybe it's the first time coming to faith in him. If I trust God, what my friends think? What will happen if I lose all my friends? What will happen if, what my family think if I make this faith decision? Or maybe it's approaching someone. Maybe it's concerning confessing something you did wrong to them and need of forgiveness. Or maybe it's someone that you need to approach and forgive them. And you're just not sure how it's going to work out. Or maybe it's approaching that person that you know does not have Christ in their heart. Approaching that person that needs to hear the good news of the gospel, and you have fear. I don't know what to say. I don't know how they're going to take this as I try to share Jesus with them. Or maybe it's tithing. Maybe you have never tithed in your life. And you're like, yeah, I just don't know. God, I know you're leading me to this, but I don't know. I'm running out of money before I'm running out of month. I don't know if what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit, if God's leading you to something, he's going to provide. He'll give us what we need. Despite our fears, if we move forward, we'll see the Lord work. You want to see a miracle in your life? Just trust God in faith. Not test him, but when he calls you to something, trust him. Trust him with it and see what happens, and you'll see the Lord work more in your life. The most common prayer, this is the most common prayer in all of history. Thy will be changed. Amen? Thy will be changed. We pray that. We may not say that literally, but we a lot of times act like it, or we show that. Thy will be changed, Lord. Just change it, please. But Mary's prayer, thy will be done. I know it's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge. There's going to be a lot of people thinking the wrong things. But whatever, if it's your will, God, your will be done. So to help us to make the same decision when we face those times of uncertainty and not knowing what God is up to, but we know he's leading, let's look at a couple areas of Mary's life in this response here. Verse 46, in the Magnificat, the praise song that she utters, this song teaches a lot about Mary. Of course, it's all about God, but we can see what Mary was like. She was humble. We know God opposes the proud, right? But gives grace, favor, right? To the humble, those that know they need God. Those that are in a humble, it says, verse 47, he says, God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She was humble. And when we're proud, right? When life's all about us, if it's all about us, who's it all up to? Us. If our lives are all about us, filled with pride, it's all up to us. But when it's all about God, it's all up to God. It's all up to the Holy. If God is leading you, and I'm living a life to glorify God and to show others Jesus, to make Jesus known while I'm knowing him myself. It's all about him. It's all up to him, whatever he's calling me to. The Holy Spirit will give us what we need. So we learn from Mary, she was humble. That'll help us. Walking in humility will help us in those times when we are faced, when God's leading us, calling us to something that just seems impossible. But then also, and this is our last point here, the very song itself, the Magnificat, the very song itself teaches us something about Mary, the fact that she even sang it and what she's saying. The reason it's called the Magnificat is because in the Latin Vulgate, right, the very first word is magnified, magnificat. That's the very first word. That's why given it that name. And that Magnificat, what that means is magnify, magnifying the Lord, or glorifying the Lord, which glorifying is more of a general sense, but magnifying is just enlarging him. The Greek word is megaluno, to magnify God, to make him bigger. Not that he needs to be bigger, himself. We can't make God bigger. We don't change God by our praise, but our praise of God changes our perspective of him and shows us and reminds us who he really is. We have that big daunting task that tends to get bigger than God in our mind, right? But no, as we magnify him like Mary did, like King David did, David said, come on guys, come magnify the Lord with me. Magnify, let's blow him up. Let's hit the plus sign on the computer, make him bigger. He's bigger than we can even imagine, but let's magnify him, praise him, and be reminded of what he can do. You know, there's some ungodly things you can do with a magnifying glass, aren't there? Who has done it? Who has burned something they should not have burned with a magnifying glass? None of you? All right, next week we're going to be talking about lying. Dewey, you don't have to come next week. Next week our sermon is Thou Shalt Not Lie, right? There are ungodly things you can do with a magnifying glass, but there are godly things like Mary did with magnification. Magnifying the Lord, praising him and lifting him up to be reminded that he'll give me he can give me what I need. Where he's calling me, where he's guiding, he will provide. So as we walk in humility, saying it's not about me, I am the Lord's servant. And in praise, magnifying the Lord, we are reminded that he is able, and we can do it. We can take that step of faith, and others will be blessed because of it. When it's all about me, it's all up to me. When it's all about God, it's all up to God. Let's pray together. God, we join hearts together, and many times we have not submitted to you as servant. We've made our lives all about getting, receiving, not serving, and we miss out so much. We miss so much about what life is about and knowing you fully. God, help us to be like Mary, and when you lead us, whether to that initial step of faith or future steps of faith, may we say, we are the Lord's servants. May your word, as difficult as it may your word be fulfilled in our lives. And may we see you lifted up and magnified in Jesus' name.